You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
The Punt, William Hill's top flight football podcast.
Hello and welcome along to The Punt, another weekend of Premier League football to look forward to. My name is Mark Walton. I'm joined in the studio by Dave Kellner and once again on the line by Derek McGovern. How are you, fellas?
Very well. Counting our winnings after yet another winning treble. We're flying. Who's that other geezer that kept popping up losers? Phelps somebody or whatever happened to it?
Derek, we had a couple of tweets in about this and people saying, I've religiously followed The Punt treble and I've managed to land the last 2 weeks. Those people that weren't already destitute are having it right off now, Derek. Those people that kept the faith for all those months without a winning punt treble have had two in a week,
They
Derek.
Must have had a very bulging bank account at the start of the year of our run, though. It was one of those tweets from Donald Trump. Because he'd have been the only one that would live with us, with the puns to live with us during that barren spell. But we always said, didn't we, you don't need many troubles to cock to have a profitable season. And now, no matter what happens between it, you know, now and May, we're in profit. So well done to us.
Speaking of Donald Trump, Derek, if you get a chance, have a look at Reddit this morning in the second story down on Reddit. I can't mention it on this podcast, unfortunately. But have a look at it. It's just hilarious. And it's just great Donald stuff. Trump in an absolute nutshell.
Yes, I shall look forward to that.
All right, well, let's get back to the football. We'll start with the televised games over the weekend and then we'll get stuck into the rest of them as well. And we start with a pretty big one as well. Tottenham Hotspur play host to Arsenal. Tottenham are 11-8. The draw 23-10. Arsenal 2-1. Enhanced odds on this game. Harry Kane to score and Tottenham to win 7-2. Olivier Giroud to score and an Arsenal win is 5-1. We'll start with you, Derek. I'll give you first crack at this. Spurs second in the league. Slipped up against West Ham at the weekend, but they take on Arsenal, who've lost their last three now. I think it's quite hard to call, but who would you side with? Have Arsenal gone at the game at the moment?
Well, it looks that way. They're on the ropes, definitely, and it's Tottenham's chance, big chance here to put them down for good, isn't it? You know, there's no disgrace from Arsenal's point of view in losing to Barcelona. But against Man United, a Man United team that haven't even started shaving. You know, how young were they? Well, they're not even allowed in the news agents at the same time. That's how young the Man United team was. And in Swansea in midweek, they had a few changes as well, and they did the business on Arsenal. They are down and out, and some of the comments you heard from their main man, Alex Sanchez, in the papers today suggest that I don't think Arsene Wenger is going to be able to lift them. I think you'll find it easier to do up his coat than to lift his players here. I like Tottenham. I think, you know, both had bad results in midweek. We know that. You know, Tottenham had a chance to go top and lost against West Ham. But no real disgrace there. And you get the sense that was a blip rather than the start of a downturn, whereas Arsenal are right in the middle of a downturn. I think if you forgive Tottenham that result, the performance wasn't that bad. If you forgive them the result, there's something to bet on here at 11-8. And one other thing in their favour, it surprises me just how poor a record Arsenal have got at White Hart Lane in recent seasons, in the league I'm talking about. There's been 4-2-1 wins for Tottenham in the last six seasons. That surprises me. I didn't realise they were doing a number on Arsenal so regularly. They're a better team in my eyes right now, and I think that's a backable price for them.
All right, so Derek, on Tottenham here, what do you make of it, Dave?
I agree with Derek, actually. 11-8 Spurs would be my bet. No Petr Cech or Lauren Koscielny either for Arsenal, which is big team news for them. We've seen them struggle defensively all season, and with Mertesacker and Gabriel forming that centre-half axis, I think they are definitely vulnerable. Petr Cech didn't exactly cover himself in glory midweek against Swansea. Made a big mistake for the second Swansea goal, but I'd much rather have him keeping than not. So Arsenal, a couple of injury concerns there. And just to go back to what Derek was saying about Spurs' recent record at White Hart Lane against Arsenal, they do tend to concede Tottenham against Arsenal, but still win games. And Arsenal have actually scored in 41 of their last 42 meetings with Tottenham in all competitions. So I'd expect that trend to continue. I think Arsenal will get on the score sheet here, but Spurs will win the game. Spurs to win and both teams to score would be definitely my bet at 16-5 in this game. And I think you've seen a difference in the two managers here as well. Mauricio Pochettino, after that game against West Ham, was speaking confidently, saying that they'd had six Premier League wins in the lead up to that match. It was just a blip. Whereas Arsene Wenger was talking about how worried he was about Arsenal's recent form in all competitions. And I think that's going to be crucial, the amount of confidence each manager can give their players respectively. And I don't see Wenger instilling confidence in this Arsenal team for this test. I think Tottenham will be quicker. I think they're better drilled than Arsenal. And I expect them to bounce back here quickly after that defeat against West Ham. And what you've got to take from that defeat against West Ham is that's always West Ham's cup final. Getting Spurs at home at the Bowling Ground, final ever London derby there, they were bang up for that game. And Slaven Bilic mentioned it afterwards in his post-match press conference. I wasn't surprised to see them get a 1-0 win there. But Spurs looked better when Dali Alli came on in the second half. Expect him to start in this game. I think Spurs will overrun Arsenal in central midfield, and I expect them to win this game, but both teams to score. Sanchez, I think he hit the woodwork twice midweek. He could score in this game, but they're clearly lacking in confidence. So Spurs to win and both teams to score would be my bet here.
Yeah. Just one quick point on that game, Mark. There was a poll in one of the papers, I think, asking fans, would Arsenal be top of the league if Pochettino was managing them? And that's a big sign, isn't it, that the faith in Wenger is at last going. Yeah. I mean, I've never understood the free ride he gets anyway, but now it looks as though the knives are out, so not before time in my eyes.
And Arsenal have only won two of their last eight away games in the Premier League as well, yeah. And they're going to one of the best clubs in the league on Saturday afternoon. I think Tottenham win this, and I think they're a good bet. I do think both teams score in the game, though. I think we'll get an entertaining match here.
Yeah, it usually is as well, isn't it? But going back to the point that Derek made earlier on as well, when players like Alexis Sanchez are coming out and questioning the team's mentality, and then you've got polls in the papers questioning Arsene Wenger, the whole thing's imploding, isn't it?
Oh, it's
going so wrong.
It really is. I think this is one of the biggest North London derbies ever as well.
Yeah.
And Arsenal mentally are fragile. They're not up to this match.
Mm. Fair enough. Let's move on to Watford against Leicester. Then the late kickoff on Saturday. It's at 5:30. Watford are 9-5. The draw 23-10. Leicester are 6-4. The enhanced odds for this game: Troy Deeney to score on Watford to win is 6-1. Jamie Vardy to score on Leicester to win is 7-2. Watford sitting 12th have had a very respectable season. They're not going to be in any danger of going down or anything. They can play with a little bit of freedom. Leicester, all the pressure should be on them. But it just isn't, because the chasing pack aren't getting near them. And, well, they've had difficult games against Norwich and West Brom where they haven't quite hit the same stride as they did earlier on in the season. They're still 3 points clear at the top of the league. So my question to you, Dave, we'll start with you. Are Leicester just coming towards a bit of an end of a tether, and the other teams are getting them out of jail?
I thought that. You know what? I thought that against West Brom, and I feel slightly fortuitous, because even though I put West Brom up plus one midweek, and that was part of that once again winning punt treble, Mark, they were lucky, West Brom, to hold on to a draw there. I don't think Leicester City played like a team that are feeling the pressure at the moment. Good to see those guys that helped them gain promotion from the Championship to the Premier League star in that match as well. Danny Drinkwater and Andy King, who deputised for N'Golo Kanté, both getting on the score sheet in that game. They've got a good title run in as well, Leicester City. You look at, with 10 games left, they are deservedly favourites to win the Premier League now. And I thought they were very unfortunate not to win that game, piling on the pressure at the Hawthorns in the last 10 minutes, but didn't get the breakthrough. And they've won 10 and lost just two of their last 17 Premier League away matches. Leicester are a good bet here. They're a good price, in my opinion, at 6-4. I was reticent to be with them at 6-10, 7-10 midweek, but I think 6-4 away at Watford is a good bet. Watford were slightly unfortunate as well not to convert one of their many chances against Manchester United at Old Trafford, but they've now failed to score in six of their last eight Premier League matches. Odion Ighalo needs to regain that scoring form he had earlier on in the season. He's failed to find the back of the net since scoring against Nottingham Forest. That was back in at the end of January in the Cup. He's got just one goal in nine Premier League appearances so far in 2016, Odion Ighalo. Leicester win this game for me. I think 6-4 is a good bet.
It is. Yeah, it is. I'll jump in quick. 6-4 is a very good bet. Yeah, they were unlucky not to have beaten West Brom. You could argue that Watford were unlucky not to have got something about Man United because they had about 5 or 6 great chances. But that worrying trend, isn't it? Six blanks in their last 8 Premier League games. That's more than a blip. That's a trend for Watford. And you look, in fact, I'll give you a further ammunition for that argument. They've scored 29 goals, Watford, all season. Well, Leicester have scored 27 away from home. You know, so yeah. I just don't see how Leicester cannot outscore Watford in this game. Oh, another fact there, by the way, is Watford have got the safe in the league. They're not going anywhere up or down. And they've got a big FA Cup tie coming up next week as well, an FA Cup quarter-final. If I was Watford, I'd be saving myself for that. Leicester won't be saving themselves. This is a big, big game for them. And I think they're well overpriced. If this was Arsenal going there, even Arsenal now, who are below Leicester, you know, how many points? 6 points below Leicester? You wouldn't be getting 6-4 Arsenal, I don't think. Certainly wouldn't be getting that for Man City. Yeah, so again, it's an insult to Leicester. Good bet.
Well, one bet that I liked here, Derek, as well, I mentioned Odion Ighalo and the fact that he's only got 1 goal in 9 Premier League appearances so far this year. He has had 27 shots in that spell. I think that he could score and Leicester City could still win the game, and you can have that bet at a big double-figure price. Odion Ighalo to score in the game and Leicester to win is 12-1. I think they could concede, but as Derek mentioned, I expect Leicester City to outscore Watford in the match. I like that as an anytime lose cast or a reverse win cast here. Ighalo to score and Leicester to win is 12-1. I think that's a good bet.
All right. Just playing devil's advocate slightly with the two of you, because I'm not entirely convinced Leicester win this. We saw Norwich shut up shop almost and try and contain Leicester, and it almost worked. Watford are very good this season at keeping clean sheets, particularly at home, and just shutting teams down and nicking a goal down the other end. Mm. And I just wondered, could they do the same to Leicester? Is that what's going to do Leicester?
Yeah, they could. They could do that. And if it was a Watford on all cylinders, that would be a persuasive argument. But I'm convinced that they've got an FA Cup tie on their mind next week.
Yeah.
I just can't see how they wouldn't have that on their mind.
Yeah, that's a massive point, yeah. So, fair play. Should we move on?
Yes,
Crystal Palace against Liverpool is the first live game on Sunday. It's at 1:30 p.m. Crystal Palace 13-5. The draw 12-5. Liverpool are 21-10. Enhanced odds here are Connor Wickham to score and Crystal Palace to win at 6-1. Daniel Sturridge to score and a Liverpool win is 4-1. Liverpool will feel good about themselves, having beaten Man City last weekend. Crystal Palace, by Alan Pardew's admission, are in a relegation battle. So which side will want this more, I suppose? Crystal Palace need the points probably more than Liverpool, because they're not going to do much in the league. Although they are closing the gap towards the European place. So, Derek, what do you make of Liverpool here?
Well, they're priced up on what happened in midweek, aren't they? They were sensational against City. Whatever happens, you can't take that away from them. But we've been here before with Liverpool. You know, they've had 3 or 4 eye-opening results, and they haven't followed it up. I'm thinking when they had that great result against Chelsea earlier in the season, in late October, where they won 3-1 at Chelsea. In their next league game, they lost 2-1 at home to Palace. And then when they beat Southampton 6-1 in that Capital One Cup game, everyone was saying Liverpool have arrived, because that came on the back of a Man City win as well. Well, the very next game, they lost 2-0 at Newcastle. It's just inconsistent, and I don't think they can be backed at these kind of prices. I can see Liverpool having a stinker here. Because that's what they do, follow a great performance with a stinker. And that's something that, you know, apart from clearing out a lot of dead wood, that's something that Jurgen Klopp has got to sort out even more urgently, the damning inconsistency that they've been showing. Palace haven't been showing inconsistency. They've been crap for about 6, 7, 8 weeks now. But now they've got Bolasie back, and we've seen the difference since he came back. You know, he came on against West Brom when they were looked down and out, and then inspired a comeback, almost a comeback. They lost 3-2 after trailing 3-0. And okay, the 2-2 draw at Sunderland isn't the greatest result in the world. But when you've been in the kind of run they've been on, you know, it stops the rot. And I'm expecting a big performance from Palace here. I know that they, you know, you're arguing that they're in the relegation fight. And I can't see them go. I think they've got too much about them to for them to go down. But they are only on 33 points. So all of a sudden, the Palace that were coasting because they were still in the FA Cup and they were in no pressure in the league, now they'll be looking behind the shoulder thinking, we've got to get our skates on here. And I think they'll beat Liverpool. Liverpool have got a massive game on Thursday, of course, against Man United in the in Europa League. I mean, that's Liverpool's season now. Playing away at Crystal Palace in the league after beating Man City, that's not Liverpool's season. I think Palace will win this.
Yeah, and you add into the mix Crystal Palace's Indian record time. Against Liverpool.
Yeah.
5 games without a win for Liverpool against Palace. four wins for Palace and a draw. So does that come into it, David?
I think it does. I agree wholeheartedly with Mr. McGovern to steal a phrase from his book, the good things here. Good things, Crystal Palace, in my opinion, at 13-5. I think everything Derek says is correct, and they do look at a much more balanced side with Yannick Bolasie in the team on the left and Wilfried Zaha, who was very good midweek, Zaha, on the right. And one player that stands out to me, had a good game at the Stadium of Light, Jordan Mutch, who has a good record as well against Liverpool. We've mentioned this on podcast before. Alan Shearer was talking about it on Match of the Day, that some players just have the knack of scoring against certain opposition and always think, oh, they're in town this week, I might get on the score sheet.
Yeah.
And I think Jordan Mutch, who needs to add goals to his game, is a good bet to score any time here. He's 4-1 to get on the score sheet. He's got 3 goals in 4 Premier League appearances against Liverpool, Jordan Mutch, and he was incredible against Sunderland during the week. Not sure how they didn't get 3 points from that game either. First goal from Dama Ndoye for Sunderland was a wicked deflection. And then Fabio Barini scored.
What a goal.
Oh, that was an incredible strike, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It's just one of those you've got to just hold your hands up and say,
yeah,
he's done us late on in that game. But Palace in the second half, I thought, were very good. Deserved to win that match. Liverpool, as you mentioned, they won 5 and lost none of their first 7 Premier League meetings with Palace. But Palace have won 4 and lost just 1 of the last 6. Palace win this game. I like Palace to win and both teams to score, which is 6-1. And I will be having a few quid on Jordan Mutch to get a goal in this match. Does need to add more goals to his game. 4-1 for him to score, playing just in behind Connor Wickham. I like that bet.
So Crystal Palace, the unanimous decision then in that game. And the second live game on Sunday is West Brom against Man United. West Brom 7-2, the draw 12-5, Man United 5-6. Enhanced odds here are Saidar Berahino to score and West Brom to win. That's 10-1. And Wan-Mata to score and a Man United win is 4-1. West Brom seem to have turned the corner to an extent. Their form has taken an upturn in the league. They're 7 unbeaten at home as well. They take on Man United, who have won their last 4 games. Things starting to look a bit better for them. They're actually level with Man City on points phenomenally now in the table. And they could qualify. They could hit a top four spot all of a sudden. So, you can have a first stab at this one, Dave. Are Man United suddenly back in the race for the top four?
They're back in the race. They're back in the hunt. But I think it's papering over the cracks to a certain extent. That team they fielded against Watford was their 4th youngest ever in the Premier League. And when you consider the class of 92, and they seem to be playing young players all the time, a lot of people will make that connection. But this team isn't a patch on that team. And I think that Manchester United will get their comeuppance here against West Brom. They have got a very good record at the Hawthorns, Manchester United, which sort of goes against the argument I'm making. They're unbeaten in 9 Premier League visits to West Brom. They've won 7 and drawn 2 in that spell. And Tony Pulis hasn't got a good record against Manchester United either. He's lost 11 of his 13 Premier League games as a manager against Manchester United. But Louis van Gaal's side have only won 1 of their last 7 Premier League away games, lost 3 in that spell. There has been a definite upturn in West Brom's form. They got a point against Leicester City, who are much better than this Manchester United side, midweek. That was following that slip-up in the Cup against Reading. Manchester United weren't good against Watford. They won that game 1-0. Watford deserved to win the match. They had numerous chances in the first half without converting. They are getting a few players back, Manchester United now. Anthony Martial started against Watford. Matteo Darmian came on as substitute. And Chris Smalling is nearing a return. But West Brom are overpriced at 7-2, undoubtedly, in my mind, despite the stats and the negatives about West Brom's run against Manchester United in recent seasons and the Pulis factor as well. West Brom 7-2 for me has to be the bet here.
Massive price, West Brom.
Well, you just agreeing on everything.
Yeah, I know it is. I know.
We didn't confer before the podcast here.
Well, I don't see how the 7-2. I mean, Man United should. If Man United had been 4-0 down at half time against Watford, they couldn't have complained. I mean, that's how one sided that first half was. And you know, the previous game they'd beaten Arsenal 3-2, but we all saw how just Arsenal just spawned in their performance. It was a shocker by them. I'm not getting worked up by United here. I think odds on Man United to win at West Brom is a criminally bad price.
I thought you were going to say something else there, Derek.
Well, I've never called West Brom right all season. I find them a real difficult side to keep tabs on.
Yeah. But
at 7-2 here, I really do think they're overpriced. I'm not interested in the. In their record against Man United over the last 9 seasons or whatever, because they've been playing Fergie's side, who were going for championships and European Cups and so on. This Man United side is bog standard. And you mentioned those players that might be coming back from injury, you know, the Smallings and the Darmians and all that. They're players that, if they were playing for Stoke, wouldn't be outstanding in a Stoke team. You know, these aren't players that you'd be worried about coming back. They just haven't got the personnel anymore, Man United.
Manchester United are just underpriced in all markets here.
Yeah.
I do think it will be tight this game. I envisage a tight football match here. I think
it could be quite a dull football match.
Yeah, I agree. Under 2.5 goals is as short as 8-15, though. I couldn't be getting involved at that sort of price. But yeah, look at West Brom in all those markets. +1, draw no bet, 2-1, and to win the match, 7-2.
I suppose you could raise the same argument as well, similar to the Liverpool argument, that Man United will keep an eye on the Thursday night game.
Well, yeah,
in the Europa League.
Yeah, but less so than Liverpool, because that's Liverpool's season. Man United are still in the hunt for top four, unbelievably. I mean, they're level on points with City in the fourth spot, so they can't possibly have their eye on, you know, they've got to give this their full attention.
Will they get in the top four anyway, though? I mean, a few weeks ago, I was saying...
I don't think they will, but they've got a chance now, haven't they?
Yeah.
That's what Derek's mentioning there. It's not the same for Liverpool. Manchester United have a realistic opportunity of finishing in the top four this season. I don't know what's more incredible, the fact that Leicester can win the league or Manchester United can finish in the top four. The way they've performed this season, it's just
exactly
unbelievable. They're still in the hunt.
Yeah. But if they get beat by West Brom, then suddenly they're back out of the race for the top four, and then
it's
the
Europa League
is the way to get into the Champions League.
So. Absolutely.
Moving on to the non-televised games, and we've got 6 Premier League matches on Saturday afternoon. We'll start with Manchester City at home to Aston Villa. Man City 1-5, the draw 5-1. Aston Villa are 14-1. The enhanced odds here are Fernandinho to score and Man City to win at 3-1. Gabriel Bonlahor to score and a Villa win is 40-1. Vincent Kompany said a few weeks ago that it's hunting season. Little did we know he meant that it was going to be City that were the deer in headlights at Anfield in midweek. Derek, surely though, this has to be a good chance for them to bounce back.
Well, yes, but are you ever going to see a shorter price in the Premier League than 1-5? I actually don't think I've ever seen one that short. And this is 1-5 about a team that you know, well, they've lost 3 on the spin, haven't they, in the league? You know what? If I'm backing a 1-5 shot, I basically want to know the result already, and it's already won. And even then, I'd think twice about it. So I can't back City. But then how can you back Villa? You can't. I mean, Everton were almost evens in midweek to beat them. And honestly, that was finding money in the street. I know some people mentioned that about bets, but it was an absolute gift. But you can't get worked up about 1-5, folks. And if somebody's 1-5, you ain't going to find any value either in handicap betting, is it? I think City +2 is still plenty short enough. City -2, 7-5. I mean, it's well within their compass to run riot against Belair, who, if they haven't thrown in the towel already, they're just about to. I hate this game. I absolutely hate it. I can't think of a thing to point in the punter's direction. I'll leave it to Dave and cop out.
Thanks, Derek. Thanks for that. I think that this could be the biggest price of the season, couldn't it, as well, I think? I don't think we've seen 14-1.
Previous seasons, though, it's nothing, is
no,
it? I mean,
not.
We've seen 20-1s and that in the Premier League in the past.
Yeah.
In the recent past.
Stats are not good for Villa here, though. They're just dismal, aren't they? They've taken just 3 points from a possible 39 in their last 13 Premier League away games.
Mm-hmm.
They've scored only 5 goals in their last 10 away from home as well. And if they lose or even draw this match, it would be a 14th consecutive winless game away in the Premier League. That's one short of the record set in the competition way back in December 2003. Despite the fact that Manchester City have lost their last 3 Premier League games against Leicester, Tottenham and Liverpool, they've still got a chance to win this Premier League title as well. Everyone's questioning, Derek, at the moment, what's gone wrong with City. You've got to be convinced that the timing of the Pep Guardiola announcement, that he's arriving in the summer, that's got to have had a detrimental effect on this City side.
Well, we've always
stopped
said,
playing, haven't they?
Well, they have. And play, you know, especially when they're after in all competitions, they're probably saving it, the guns now for the. I suspect they're saving it for the Champions League. And yeah, you players don't need an excuse. You know, players already look for an excuse. You know, to take the foot off the gas, and they've got one there, a ready-made excuse. Well, the manager's leaving, doesn't matter, we don't impress him now. You know, we've got a new guy coming in. It's the same thing happened when Fergie announced his retirement, didn't it, a few years ago? Yeah, madness. It was madness on City's part. You know, I know what you're both thinking. City 1-5, they're at home to Villa. How can they not win? But remember, I think they were 2-5 when they went to Villa Park a few weeks ago and drew 0-0. Remember that one? I know they've gone there since and won in the cup 4-0. And they should win this, but this is a team that's lost their last three Premier League games and they're 1-5. Can't have it. I'd be betraying my own principles to back them.
The only bet that I will have here is Man City to win and both teams to score, which is 2-1. When you consider City a 1-5 shot here, Villa didn't give up the ghost against Everton midweek and got on the score sheet there. They scored against Stoke as well. They have got goals in them, this Villa side, just not many. I think Man City win and both teams to score, which is 2-1. If you like City to win this game and for them to win to nil, that's 3-4, but that's too short. In my opinion, I'm going to go with City to win and Villa to nick a goal in this game at 2-1.
Moving on to Chelsea's game next, and Chelsea 1-2 against Stoke. The draw is 3-1. Stoke are 6-1. And Hansels for this game, Willian to score in a Chelsea win is 3-1. Marko Arnautovic to score in a Stoke win is 16-1. I said it last week, and I'm going to keep saying it. Chelsea under Hiddink, a different animal, but they take on a Stoke side who are doing pretty well at the moment. So I think this is quite a tight one to call as well.
Yeah, I agree. I think Derek will be all over Stoke City here at 6-1. But Mark Hughes is my concern here. We've mentioned this on the podcast on numerous occasions. When he sets up a side to go away from home to an inverted commas, a big club, they fail historically. Mark Hughes has lost 30 and drawn 4 of his last 34 Premier League matches as a coach. Anfield, at the Emirates / Highbury, Old Trafford and Stamford Bridge combined. When he sets a team up to go away from home to a big club, they don't win football matches. Chelsea are 6 games unbeaten at home in the Premier League. They have admittedly drawn 4 of those. I wouldn't want to back Chelsea at 1-2, but I'm reticent to back Stoke at 6-1. I think the bet here could be the draw at 3-1. Chelsea have drawn a lot of matches recently. Stoke might be slightly overpriced. I envisage an entertaining game here. I'll go with the draw and match result in both teams to score, the draw at 4-1. I don't think this will end 0-0, so I'll go either 1-1 or 2-2 in this match. So match result in both teams to score, the draw at 4-1. Not confident Mark Hughes can set a team up to go away at a big club and win a football match.
That is interesting. I didn't know that. And it's hard to argue against, isn't it? I mean, you know, that's not just bad luck, is it? That's I don't know, that reveals some sort of an odd mindset.
And that's not a small sample either there.
No.
34 Premier League matches as a coach,
exactly.
Away at Liverpool, Arsenal, Manchester United and Chelsea. Lost 30 and drawn 4, which I find astonishing.
I do. I'm open-mouthed in amazement at that. And I'm just looking at the recent results at Stamford Bridge. You know, they lost 2-1-0 last season, but before that it was a 3-0, a 1-0, a 1-0, a 2-0, a 7-0. They go there and not even score. You know, I know that Mark Hughes hasn't been in charge for all of those, but he has been for a few.
Yeah.
That is a big worry. But the 6-1 and Chelsea are 1-2, and Chelsea, okay, they are a different animal under Gus Hiddink, but they're still not the Chelsea of old. You know, some of the better players are getting too old. I'm still not convinced about one or two of the others who are making headlines at the moment. And Hazard, he's flattered to deceive. I thought he was coming back to his best, but he seems to have gone back into his shadow. The big thing about Chelsea here, you're backing them at 1-2, is that they've got a PSG game next week in the Champions League.
Yeah.
Come on. You know, if you're a Chelsea player, you're at home to Stoke, you're mid-table, Stoke are probably a couple of places higher. It's not a glamour tie, is it? Not a glamour match, rather. And then you've got this massive game next week, which, you know, their season is going to revolve around. I can't back Chelsea at 1-2 here. The worry about Stoke is what you just said, Mark Hughes' record. I think I'll play safe. Not after my MO, but I'm going to here. I'm going to go Stoke plus a goal at 8-5.
Fair enough. So basically Stoke to get a point or better.
Yeah, I'm going to go with the draw at 3-1. I agree with Derek about that trip to PSG being on their mind. That's absolutely huge for that match at home against PSG. That's huge. for Chelsea. But I think they'll want to protect that Gus Hiddink record in the Premier League. So I'll go with the draw at 3-1.
All right, moving on to Goodison Park next. Everton take on West Ham. Everton 8-11, the draw 14-5. West Ham are 18-5. Romelu Lukaku to score in an Everton win is 2-1 on the enhanced odds. Dimitri Payet to score in a West Ham win is 10-1. We'll start with you, Derek, because we know how much you'd like to tip Everton here, but yeah, it's not going to be easy against this West Ham side, is it?
Well, I'm a bit worried about this game because I looked at the picture and I thought, I'm having Everton all day long here, but 8-11 is sure. I thought the worst they'd be getting is evens because West Ham are no mugs, are they? I was going to argue that West Ham have got an FA Cup tie next week, but so have Everton. There's nothing much to be gleaned from that. Finished 1-1 earlier in the season at West Ham. Everton have won the last three at Goodison Park against the Hammers. Generally a good record against the Hammers here, but this is a different Hammers animal as we've seen all season long. They went away to some big teams earlier in the campaign and got victories. They haven't won so many away from home. But prices of 18-5, I think Everton are sensational, and I think that I still fancy them to finish in the top six. I expect them to go on a big run. But the odds compilers have caught up with them. 8-11, it just doesn't appeal to me. You know what I'm going to do here? Even though I think Everton will probably win the game, I have to go for West Ham here at 18-5. This is nearly 4-1 about a side who are higher than Everton in the league. And they've, on the back of a great result, just beating the league title favourites. And they win away from home, as we've seen. The odds are wrong here.
David?
I just to elaborate on something Derek mentioned there about Everton's record against West Ham, it's pretty sensational, really. In the last 15 Premier League matches, they've won 10 and drawn 5 against West Ham. So West Ham don't have a good record against Everton. However, this is something we've referenced all season on this podcast. For a team of Everton's stature, their record at home has been very poor. They've won just 4 of their last 16 Premier League matches at Goodison Park. And the odds on here against a team that are 8 points ahead of them in the league and have gone to the Emirates and won, the Etihad and won, and Anfield and won in the league this season. Those wins did come earlier on in the season, and they've not been anywhere near as potent subsequently. I just get the feeling, David, this is a letdown spot for West Ham. They put so much energy into beating Spurs midweek. I'm not sure they'll be fully at it for this trip to Goodison. Slaven Bilic is the kind of character that won't allow them to rest on their laurels. Goals here. I fancy goals in this match. I don't see the way these two sides set up. I expect it to be fast, frenetic, furious from the first whistle. I like both teams to score an over 2.5 goals in the game, which is in the betting at 11-10. Do like that bet. And I'm going to put up a goal scorer shout here as well. Mark Noble is 8-1 to score for West Ham. He's got 3 goals in the league this season. He takes the penalties for West Ham as well. He's been playing superbly all year round. I think he's on the verge of getting a call up for the national side for England. I really do. I think he deserves one as well. Had a couple of long-range efforts against Spurs on Wednesday that were both on target. Does pop up with the odd goal. He's just riding the crest of a wave at the moment, Mark Noble. 8-1 is overpriced for him to get on the score sheet. So those two bets for me, both teams to score and over 2.5 goals at 11-10, and Mark Noble to score at 8-1.
I saw you tweet about that in midweek. You're all over the Noble bandwagon at the moment, aren't you?
I am. I think he's a good player, good player.
Is the most likely outcome here a draw then, if both teams have FA Cup things to worry about and they both probably settle for a point here, wouldn't they?
I think Everton, I agree with Derek, I think Everton are the most likely winners, but when I was formulating the prices in my mind, couldn't have Everton at 8-11 here, Derek, and that's key, no, isn't it?
Yeah, well, that's it. Yeah, I mean, yeah, I think Everton will win, but they shouldn't be odds on against West Ham. I can't. Where do you draw the line if you start accepting those kind of prices? I can't accept them.
Let's move on to Southampton against Sunderland next. Then Southampton 1-2, the draw 3-1, Sunderland 6-1. Sadio Mane to score in a Southampton win is 5-2 on the enhanced odds market there, and Jermaine Defoe to score in a Sunderland win is 12-1. What do you make of this, Derek? Because Sunderland are fighting for their lives, but Southampton quite a solid prospect at home. So what do you make of it?
Well, they are, but how poor were they against Bournemouth last week? In midweek, they were really, really poor. That game was in full view of the watching millions. So I'm surprised they are as short as they are here. It's your odd compiler, Mark. He's been on here before, and we've Well, you know, he loves Southampton, and they're underpriced here, definitely underpriced. Sunderland haven't done too much wrong in recent weeks. That defeat, their only defeat in their last four was against West Ham, when, in my eyes, they could easily got a draw and possibly even a win in that fixture. There's something about them. They're looking dangerous. They look as though they can score goals against anybody at the moment, Sunderland. I think 6-1 to win at Southampton is a big, big price. I really do. But one thing I should point out, by the way, there's a bit of payback time as well, isn't it, for Sunderland? Because remember what happened last season there, 8-0. The Hateful Eight, as it's been known as. I just think they're overpriced on them. Let's not forget that they've got everything to play. But we're in the stage of the season now where, you know, it's that time. Teams have got something to play for, and they're playing against teams that don't. Normally, bookies take that into account, and you'll see a big skewing of prices. Well, maybe your odds compilers think it's too early for that, but there's no skewing of prices here. Southampton are criminally underpriced.
This is one that I hated, because Southampton are underpriced at 1-2, but I don't want to back Sunderland at 6-1 either. I could see this game ending in a draw. I don't mind Sunderland +1 in the market if you're leaning one way or the other. Sunderland +1 is 11-8, but Sunderland have only won twice away from home in the league this season. They have scored a few goals, but they conceded a few as well. They've shipped 19 goals in their last seven away games, Sunderland. That's a definite concern. But Southampton, as Derek mentioned, bitterly disappointing midweek against Bournemouth. That came on the back of that loss against Chelsea. And having gone that length of time without conceding a goal, they'd gone six without conceding Southampton, to then be beaten back-to-back is quite deflating. They've got injury problems as well with their strike force, Southampton. Graziano Pella's future at the club is uncertain. There's rumours that he'll be leaving in the summer. And Charlie Austin is injured. Shane Long went off injured against Bournemouth, so we're not sure who's going to lead the line in this game for Southampton. And Sunderland have plenty to play for. They're trying to dig themselves out of this relegation zone. So Sunderland with more to play for, Southampton underpriced. Sunderland +1 at 11-8 would be my bet. But again, I think this could be a draw, this game. I think Sunderland and Sam Allardyce will see this as a good point if they can get one at St Mary's. So draw 3-1 and Sunderland +1 at 11-8, my bets.
Moving on to Swansea against Norwich next. Swansea 10-11, the draw 23-10, Norwich 16-5. Alberto Pelosi to score in a Swansea win is 3-1, and Stephen Naismith to score in a Norwich win is 8-1. Those are the enhanced odds for this game. We'll start with you, Dave. Swansea, decent win in midweek against the Gunners. Norwich, dreadful most of the season, particularly away from home. So is it as cut and dry as a 10-11 home win?
Don't start with me here. This is the one.
The way you said that, you put a different emphasis on the word. Don't start with me.
Yeah, sound like you're trying to fight, wasn't it?
Yeah, I want to scrap with you both. This is the one game. If you could veto a match this weekend, this would be the one that I'd veto, because I don't want to back Norwich at 16-5, but I don't like Swansea at 10-11 either. That headline offer you mentioned, Alberto Pelosi to score and Swansea to win. You'd rather have him than Bafétimbi Gomis to score, because he's got just one in his last 21 games in the Premier League. That was after scoring in his first four Premier League matches this season. And I remember early on in the podcast this season, we were raving about Gomis and putting him up to score every week. That quickly went wrong. The one man that I like, and I'll have one goal scorer bet here in this match, Gylfi Sigurdsson, who turned that game at the Emirates midweek. He looked fantastic when he came on. Missed a gilt-edged opportunity in the match. He's overpriced, in my opinion, to score any time at 19-10. I think he'll start in this game. And in a game where I've got little opinion on the 90 minutes result, I'll play the goal scorer. So Gylfi Sigurdsson to get on the score sheet here at 19-10.
What about you, Derek?
I think the odds compilers are getting too swayed by what happened at the Emirates in midweek. I mean, yeah, Swansea, great result for them, and we actually had a suspicion that that might happen.
Yeah.
More so because of Arsenal's shortcomings than anything to do with Swansea. But let's not forget that they could have been 2 or 3 nil down, couldn't they? Those shots would have been an inch lower, the ones that crashed against their bar. I'm not getting too waked up about it, because that was more, you know, you look at Swansea all season, that was a one-off performance rather than the start of a trend in my eyes, because they ain't good enough to carry that on. And the 10-11 here against Norwich side with everything to play for, and, by the way, who could easily have got something against Leicester and could easily have got something against Chelsea too. You know, they were despite the losses, they were impressive performances by Norwich. The draw against West Ham, the game before that too, I think Norwich have been dealt a cruel blow with the fixtures they've had recently. Some real tough Liverpool, Tottenham, West Ham, Leicester, and Chelsea in their last six matches. You're entitled to finish empty-handed after that. Mm. This is a game that's winnable for them, and I think at these prices they're backable. I don't think there's much to choose between these two sides. Certainly wouldn't be backing Swansea odds on. I think Norwich is something to back here. I really do.
All right, starting with Norwich there then, and the final game we'll look at is Newcastle against Bournemouth. Newcastle 8-5, the draw 12-5. Bournemouth are 13-8. Bournemouth above Newcastle in the table. They had an impressive performance midweek, although I'm not sure Southampton necessarily turned up. Newcastle struggling largely, but their home form is what's going to save them, Derek. So is this going to be one that they have to win?
Well, I have to say, I looked at this picture. It was something that Dave mentioned earlier, and I thought, yeah, I'll be on Bournemouth here. And then I've seen the odds. 13-8 Bournemouth to win at Newcastle. Just doesn't appeal at all. Newcastle went to Bournemouth earlier in the season and won 1-0, one of the few high points of this campaign. They're not an easy nut to crack on home soil, and you know, better teams than Bournemouth have gone there and haven't done the business. In fact, you know, for a team at second from bottom, they've only lost 4 at home. Compare that with Aston Villa, who've lost 8 at home. Bournemouth have lost 6 at home, for instance. I just think Newcastle are overpriced here. They're not great. Bournemouth aren't either. I think they're a little bit flattered, maybe, by their midweek win over Southampton. Yeah, they deserve to win, but it was more Southampton not trying a leg, it seemed, than Bournemouth doing anything brilliant. In other words, they didn't have to try that hard to win, in my eyes, Bournemouth. I think they'll have to try hard here. I can't back Bournemouth. And it goes against my religion to back Newcastle, but I just think they're overpriced here.
You mentioned that game, Derek, the reverse fixture back in November when Newcastle won 1-0. That was their only shot on target in that game. Didn't have a shot in the first half of any kind at Newcastle. They were dominated against Bournemouth on that occasion and were lucky to win 1-0. But I'm kind of with you on the prices here. I don't think Bournemouth are big enough to be playing. And you mentioned it, Mark. It's their home form that's going to save them. If Newcastle are to survive in this league, they're going to have to pick up points at home because they're abysmal away from home. Record at home has been much better. They've won their last two against West Ham and West Brom in the league, only lost one of their last six at St James's Park as well. They've actually only lost 4 times at home all season. Those losses have come against Leicester, Arsenal, Everton and Watford. So maybe Watford the only anomaly there. The other teams, the other 3 teams, very, very good teams. Bournemouth aren't in that category at all here. I'm just reticent to back Newcastle the way they've been playing at 8-5 to win a game, because it was the most important point of the season for them, having that long break between the matches against Chelsea and Stoke, and they were still beaten against Stoke. I like the draw at 12-5, so that's what I'll play, the draw 12-5 here.
All right, that's the game's done and dusted then. Let's finish off, as usual, with the best bets. We'll start with you, Derek. What's your nap of the week?
Yeah, there's always, normally in Premier League big programmes, there's always one that leaps out, but there aren't. There are 2 or 3 I like, but nothing that's leaping out at me. It's a tough one. You know what I think I'll do? I think I'll go for Stoke plus a goal at Chelsea. I just think it's the game against PSG is everything to Chelsea in midweek. So Stoke could capitalise. I think that's 8-5, Stoke plus a goal start at Chelsea.
Yeah, I quite like that. I had a couple to pick from that I thought overpriced home teams on Sunday is the theme for me here. Crystal Palace at 13-5 or West Brom at 7-2. I will lean with... Oh, it's tough. I'm going to go with Crystal Palace at 13-5 to beat Liverpool on Sunday afternoon as my bet.
Yeah, that was going to be my second choice.
I think that's a good bet.
All right, maybe it's the confidence of having several winning trebles in a row or whatever, but I think I might have been too bold this time. I'm going to go Newcastle at 8-5 to beat Bournemouth, because I'm sticking by what I said about their home form has to keep them up, and I think they've beaten some decent sides at home this year, so I'm probably just going to think they're a little bit overpriced in the betting. I don't think Bournemouth should be that short, and I think you're getting a bit of extra juice on Newcastle, so I'm going to play them. Stoke plus a goal at 8-5, Newcastle at 8-5 as well, and Crystal Palace to win at 13-5. That treble pays 23.33-1. So a nice bit of value there. Thanks, guys. Thank you very much to you who listened as well. And if you're having a bit of good luck, and enjoy this weekend's Premier League football.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.